Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends, and welcome to You Are Not Alone. I am spiritual medium Erica Gabriel, your resident medium. If you're just joining me for the first time, welcome. Thank you for being here and finding me and hanging with me today. And if you're someone that's listened to this podcast a lot, welcome back. I'm so happy to be with you and to be on this journey with you guys. Really, I know journey is kind of a cliche word because, like, what isn't a journey, really? But I do feel like this podcast has been a journey, and the messages that you guys send me are just so cool because there's something in the podcast or an episode that you've heard that sparked a new thought or a new understanding or served you on your path or journey in some way. So we're kind of in this together, and I'm so happy you're here, and I'm so excited for my guest today. So, you know, as a medium, like, I get what I get from spirit. So meaning I read for someone, what comes through is what will best serve them at that time. So I don't always, like, I don't get the same thing for every single person. Every reading is so different. So for an example, like, I am not a past life regressionist, but at times a past life will come up in a reading if that will really, really serve that person, right? So something that has come up are animals, like crazy. People want to know about their pets they lost. And grieving a pet is so hard because we feel like, did they know that we loved them? Did they know that they meant so much to us? Are they mad that I had to put them down? You know, it can be so painful. And these pets, you know, are a part of our family, a huge part of our family in our lives. And so a lot of questions I get are about pets. Do pets reincarnate? Does my pet know I love them still? Are they around me? All kinds of pet questions. And oftentimes pets do come forward in readings. And I've definitely, you know, seen people cross over and their pet ran up to them and greeted them along with their mom and dad or, you know, loved ones. So pets are a huge part of our experience here on Earth, as are animals in this incredible network we have on this planet. And there's just so much, you know, so much pain as well when it comes to animals too, about how to treat animals. Do we eat animals? There's just so much, you know, and I know we all want to live as much as possible in harmony. And so there's so many questions and so many thoughts, and I'm so excited to have Laura Marjorie Miller on the show. She is an animal communicator. She was certified through Animal Talk Africa, which is an academy based in Cape Town. She works with tons of people on communicating with their animals. She's worked and kind of worked in all kinds of different sanctuaries, communicating with animals, and founded Oh Best Beloved, which is her company of animal communication. And we found each other just through a really cool way and connected via email, and she's here. And so we're going to touch on all kinds of amazing topics about animals. I know a lot of people have been asking for this. So with no more of me just chatting, let me get to the interview, which was recorded a little bit earlier. This is my talk and my connection, my interview with Laura Marjorie Miller, this incredible animal communicator. So I hope you guys love it. I loved talking to her. It was really just a positive, wonderful experience. And I tried to ask her as many questions as I could that I think that you guys would want me to ask her. You know what I mean? And questions I wanted too, but I really focused on a lot of questions that I think we all have. And we all have about our relationship with animals, whether there are domestic animals or animals in zoos or dolphins captive, you know, all kinds of things. So I hope you guys like this conversation. Let me know. Make sure you DM me and tell me how you felt about this one. And here it is with no further ado. Is that an expression? No further ado? I don't know. Anyway, you guys know what I mean. Here is my conversation with Laura. Welcome to You Are Not Alone. And I'm so happy to have you here. And when we first met, you know, as a medium, when I read for people, what comes, right? For me. And what comes through. And so sometimes people are like, tell me my past lives, or tell me this, or tell me that. And if it comes, it comes. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I really kind of allow the information that the person's meant to hear to come through me. And one of the biggest questions I always get is about people's animals. They want to know about their dogs or their cats or their special precious animals that have crossed over. And it's so hard with animals because we can't say goodbye. Really? We think we can't, right? Because we can't verbally talk to them. And, you know, so many people come to me and they're like, did my dog know that he was the love of my life and a soulmate? And, you know, did he know, you know, or she know? And, sometimes when I do readings, I've had a bunch of dogs come through, a bunch of animals come through. I've read with a few horses as well. But that's not my, you know, the main thing that I do is not animal communication. And people also want to know so much about animal reincarnation. And do animals come back as animals? Is there a special quote unquote heaven, right? As people ask, just for animals, people have so many questions. And then also all the questions about treating animals with kindness and possibly veganism and eating animals. And so much came up when I saw your email and you were so lovely. And I'm like, I am so thrilled to have you on. So welcome to You Are Not Alone. And thank you for being here. Really.
Thank you so much. Well, how would you like to step? Which foot do you want to put in the water first?
Well, first of all, let's introduce yourself. So, tell me about what company you have, and kind of how this all got started, right? Because you realized, like, wait, I talk to animals. Hold on a minute. What's going on? So tell me how this all began and the name of the company that you've developed now. And then, we want to hear it all. I want everything.
Okay. So this has been a lifelong journey. And some of that is reflected in the name of my company, which is O, which is the letter O, like in an ode.
Yep.
Best Beloved Animal Communication. And that title, the name comes from Rudyard Kipling, Just So Stories, which are all of these stories that he wrote about animals and creation and how certain animals came to be. Mm. And in the voice that he's writing to the child that is the imagined audience, he always refers to them as best beloved or oh, best beloved. Mm. And when I was in kindergarten, we did the kindergarten play was The Elephant's Child, which was one of those Just So Stories. And it was how the elephant gets his long trunk. And I was the narrator. So I knew the whole story by heart. And those stories were a big part of my childhood. One of the things that's so beautiful about them, Kipling, whenever he's writing animals in Jungle Book or Just So Stories, he writes in this cadence where he almost is embodying the animal. Mm. And when I was conceiving of a name for my company, that just came through so strong that was the energy that I wanted to embody through the company, because the animals in our lives are our beloveds. And it also gives me a way that when I'm communicating with the audience, when I'm writing my newsletter, sometimes I'll call them best beloved and be in that Kipling zone. And so when I say it's a lifelong journey, I've loved animals my whole life. And a lot of the stories that I love the most as a child are stories where humans and animals are speaking, or humans are understanding the animals and having what we would call now as downloads and of information communication from the animal. And something happens to us. I think a lot of children have this innately in them that seems very natural.
Totally. Yeah. My son is 8 and he's like, you know, my special gift is that I talk to animals, right?
Right.
And I'm like, totally. I really think you do talk to animals. It's amazing, you know, and we all can, and we all do, right? You know,
we do.
And then we lose.
And then we lose it. And then we lose it. We don't ever really lose it, but we lose our ability to believe in it. and something in it. And he's very lucky to have you as a supportive mother. One of the packages that I offer is called Fam Animals. And the reason I created that package like that, the whole family can do it together. So it can be children, adults, everyone, you know, working with their animal. And one of the reasons that was important to me to do that was so, you know, children in their innate sensitivity and intuition feel supported in that, that it's a normal part of life and they see their parents supporting them in that. Mm. And there are a lot of reasons why children tend to, as they grow, to lose their faith and their ability to do that, to communicate with animals, to hear animals, because it's, you know, animals hear us really well. We're just not always very organized in the way that we are addressing them. And, but it's our ability to hear them that we so get socialized out of it.
Right. It's society. It's weird to be like, oh yeah, I was talking with my dog the other day and he was telling me this, people look at you like you're crazy,
That's right.
It's not the norm. And I love that part of your message is to bring that back to more normal, to be open to that communication. Just like when I go for a walk and I talk to the trees, you know, that sounds so wackadoodle, but I do talk to the trees.
Yeah. And right. There are lots of cultures still on the earth where people talk to trees.
Absolutely.
And talk to animals and listen to what the animals have to say that tend to be more traditional cultures, you know, or more indigenous cultures, but that's part of their culture.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, so it's never lost. And we in our Western culture, it's innate and inborn within us. We can reclaim it. It's available to us.
I love that. That's so awesome. And so you're going along and it's lifelong development. And then did you have like a moment where it was the very first time when you were like, oh my gosh, I just heard him or her?
I had a long gap in my life where it kind of dovetails with this idea of being psychic. And there was a long period of my life where I didn't think that I was sensitive or psychic or intuitive. And I would characterize myself and say, oh, I'm just like a block of wood or I'm thick as a plank. And one of the reasons of that
stories we tell ourselves, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And we block ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the reasons for that and is that because I would have these super psychic friends who were very sort of second sight, flamboyantly psychic, like seeing aliens on the side of the road or probably more like what you experience. And so I it's so sad because I just assumed that I was turned off in a way or that it wasn't available to me. I wasn't able to appreciate that the kind of oddness or weirdness or the feelings I would have.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Were actually, you know, transmissions. I just thought right. That was my thoughts or my brain or whatever. And one of the questions you wrote in your email is, what's it like to talk to animals? Mm-hmm. It's a dream come true because it's something that we spend our life dreaming about and longing for. And I remember I enrolled myself. I'm jumping a couple stones on the creek here. But when I enrolled myself in a training academy, I had had this long buildup where I started doing like intuition classes and doing channeling because I had heard enough people say, everyone's intuitive, everyone's psychic. You can do it. You train and trust yourself. And I was building that up. And for some reason, animals were the last guard. And I believe it's because they were so important to me that I felt like if, and I'm, I felt like if I failed and if I couldn't do it, it was going to be this truth about myself that I didn't, it was, would have been unbearable.
It was epic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I had a friend who's like the funniest friend I know, hilarious, funny, the best. And I was always telling him, why don't you go to certain acting school? It was like the best comedic acting school ever. It was just like where everyone came out of, like in LA. It was just so cool. And he's like, cause like, if I can't do it and I'm not good there, like he was so scared, you know, to fail because that was like his Everest, you know, those, that's where you really get that validation that you're really funny, you know? And it's
yes.
You're like, you know, your soul was like, you're an animal communicator. You're like, shit, if I can't do this, this is terrible. You
I'm
know?
Screwed. Yeah.
Right. But what's interesting too, you were saying about your friends that were just like, I'm psychic. There's aliens everywhere, ghosts all around. Like, you know, and you were just like feeling these vibrations and downloads, but it was more subtle. And I love that story so much that you brought up because I feel like in order to communicate with animals, you do have to be more quiet. And it is more of a little bit more of a subtle or different kind of frequency. So It makes sense that you were kind of more like, it was a different vibration for you. You weren't just like, I'm psychic, right?
Yeah,
it was
right,
more
right.
subtle vibration. And that's so beautiful. And just even in the energy in our conversation and how you're communicating with me, you know, you have this, just this, you have a piece about you, and I'm not surprised that animals are drawn to you. I bet kids are very drawn to you as well.
That's so nice to hear. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. You were talking and I was like, gosh, I like her so much. I'm like, I'm so glad we're talking.
I do remember, I would say the first official time that I can remember but it was before my training, and I was in Bimini on a wild dolphin swimmer, you go out on a catamaran. Mm-hmm. And I remember falling asleep, you know, cause we were looking for dolphins forever as one does when you're on those trips, either you see them right away or it seems like you're never going to see them. And I was dozing off like in the middle of the catamaran. And I remember falling asleep. I remember I had this Adam Ant song in my head, Jolly Roger, for some reason. And in my dream, all of a sudden I saw the dolphin backs. Like I saw their dark backs and their dorsal fins in the water. And then all of a sudden I woke up and I knew that they were there It was, and they were there. It was when you wake up and you just know.
Yeah.
And that was, I knew, I was like, they sent that to me. I got it from them. It was emanating all around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also to appreciate sometimes the ways that animals are speaking or transmitting or communicating to us. It's not always sentences. It can be, you're right, it can be like an image. It can be a song lyric. I get song lyrics a lot because they're pulling out of my catalog. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can talk about maybe because like, why would an animal know like a Doors lyric? Because know it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this. What do you, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Say you're on vacation, you're at a resort and they've got captive dolphins in pools and they're captive in there. What do you feel when you walk by that tank?
I haven't done that because I wouldn't go to a resort that had that.
Right. I did when I was like 13, and I mean, now I would never, ever go to one again, but yes. Uh-huh.
Right. I remember going,
what are those animals saying that are captive like that in that tank? Because especially dolphins, you brought up dolphins. It's like poor dolphins. They look happy. They've got this smile on their face. But they're not.
No, they're not. And there's no, I mean, you can make a life wherever you are. And some people are better at it than others. You know, you kind of can make the best of your situation. And if you think this is in dolphins, obviously everyone's an individual. And that's an important thing to remember too, is that there are some of them who are better at dealing with that than others. You know, for instance, dolphins who can commit suicide, like Rick O'Berry's dolphin that he worked with on Flipper.
Yep. I remember that story. She closed her blowhole and committed suicide.
Right. Yeah. She just decided not to breathe because they can decide that.
I know.
And, or you can have someone, and I'm referring to, you know, what I know from other communicators too, that there are some who are like, okay, this is my life. This is what I've got to work with. And I'm just going to try to make the best life that I can out of what's here, even though it's really hard. And, you know, so it really depends individually, but the thing is, you know, it's not to let people have a pass because they're saying, oh, you'll just make the best of it. Cause that's not okay. You know, somebody surviving is very different from their thriving.
Right. You're saying not every single dolphin is just waking up screaming, crying, I'm so miserable. They have made the best of it and some can't. So what do you feel when you walk through a zoo? What do you hear? What do you sense? What do you have to tap in? So like, say you're standing in a zoo and you're in front of, you know, a gorilla cage. Do you have to psychically tap into that gorilla or do you just hear him or her just out loud talking? How does that work for you?
I would usually, if I was going to go all the way in, I would ask permission first. And sometimes they give you something and you get it, whether you're, you know, tapped in. And sometimes, you know, you can tell if somebody's miserable in the moment. For instance, I volunteered at wildlife rehab. And so a lot of people the animal people are temporarily housed. And some of them are releasable and some of them are not releasable. And this is just an example. There is an old man raccoon who had gotten his foot caught in a trap. He's really old. And the center director was, you know, she's like, this is your best shot. And we're going to ban. And so he's an amputee now. And for a while he was laying in his hospital cage and you could just feel the misery coming off of him because he had no comprehension for anything going on around him, you know, and I would just be like, you know, buddy, it's, you know, this is temporary. It's hard. Sometimes you have to, and now he's outside in an outside enclosure. So he's, you know, and I knew she was going to do that, but he had to get through that period. And so, so you can say, I know a lot of communicators who are always apologizing to everybody. They're like, I'm so sorry we did this to you. The one thing that.
So do you feel like in terms of zoos, like not all animals in zoos are miserable? Same thing as like a captive dolphin, like
I would make it a safe bet that most of the captive dolphins are miserable and trying to make the best out of a crappy situation. There are some animals. I mean, if you think about animals in zoos, and I'm going to kind of veer back and forth with science everything in an animal is evolved to be in a wild ecosystem. That's part of who they are. They're bought in ways that are so subtle that it's even hard for us to comprehend.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and their body evolved to be in this multidimensional place that's full of different kinds of cells and microbes and microorganisms and bugs and birds and everything inflecting on each other. And that is so panoramic and so detailed on the most minute level that's where you're really going to be comfortable. And I don't think, you know, we humans are used to creating our environments around ourselves and saying, I'm fine.
They should be fine.
They should be fine.
Right. And we'll put a fake plant that to look like it's a cactus or. I see what you're saying. Right.
Right.
And listen, I take my kids to the zoo. I'm not trying, you know, anyone that's listening to zoo, it's like, I know there's a lot of places. It's like, they're rehabbing these animals. They, you know, this animal was born in captivity. They can't survive. Like, I know that. I'm not trying to demonize zoos. I just want to put that out there. These are thoughts that I think when I'm walking through the zoo, or I just wanted to know on your level. So, but I hear what you're saying is that like ultimately, you know, animals are not meant to be kept in a glass cage.
No. And right. And you think about the level of health, of just mental health, emotional health, you know, physical health, everything in that is informed by that really multifaceted, is even too big of a word, that environment. One thing I want to do in Oh Best Beloved is I do work with sanctuary animals, and I really would like to work with more zoos, if all the zoos don't, you know, burn me for what we just were saying. But because one thing I learned from working with sanctuary animals and have learned is that there are things that the keepers or caretakers can't guess about what's going on in their environment, but the animal is perceiving from their point of view. So if you are doing a communication consultation, or even in the future, I would love to be able to train zoo carers to be able to do this themselves. And the animal is like, I really want a water feature. I really would like to have something to climb on over there. The more that you can allow them to design their environment, given the current reality of captivity that we're in, even though there's a wonderful, brilliant rewilding movement that's happening, which is fantastic. But the animals who, and people who are like, well, we're going to phase out zoos in 30 years, that's our aim. But the animals who are there now, for them to be able to direct and have choice and agency over what their environment looks like is a big, would be a big deal in the lives of those individual animals.
Love that. That's so cool. Oh, I hope that happens.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I wanted to ask you also, are you a vegan?
I am not a vegan, but I have I was for a long time.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm not a vegan, because I was a vegan for a long time. And this is so, but then I started eating honey because my family keeps bees. One of the things about bees is it's really hard to keep bees against their will because they will leave.
Wow.
If they're not happy, they will go. And, you know, so to me, local honey, or honey that, you know, more or less where it's sourced in a, you know, is a really, I'm okay with that. That was a choice I made. And, you know, I had an issue with my health where I wasn't getting enough protein of a certain type. And this sounds so Hollywood-y, but my acupuncturist at the time was,
where do you live? You don't live in LA, do you?
I don't, but it was my acupuncturist said.
No, okay. That's complete normal talk here.
It is normal.
That's normal talk.
It is normal. Okay. So he said, well, you need to get some animal protein. And I'm like, I can't do that. And then he goes, why don't you think about getting eggs? And I said, I know, I will find somebody who I can get eggs with. If they're not killing their chickens, I will get eggs from them. And so that's really what I do.
You do eggs and honey.
I do eggs. If I do locally sourced eggs that I know the person and I know what's going on with them and their chickens. And like the lady I get eggs from right now, she doesn't even have a rooster. So the eggs that are laid are basically like the hens, period. And they're going to lay them anyway.
Oh God. Ah, it's so crazy because I eat eggs and I love eggs. And when you just said that, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's just, but it's, we're so removed from our food. I am, you know what I mean? Like, I don't go out and pick the, you know, egg out of their, you know, nest, you know? So we're so removed from our food. You know, I don't hunt when I, you know, eat chicken or fish or whatever. I don't go hunt it. And so we're so removed from it. So when you said that, obviously, yes, that's what that is. I get it totally. But just hearing it, I'm like, God damn it. Oh, I have such an internal struggle with veganism. I was vegan for years and I'm not at all now. And it's just, it's a struggle, you know, it's trying to find that balance or find, you know, where it lies, you know?
Yeah.
It's really tough. Well, thank you for telling me that.
Maybe you're never going to see eggs the same way.
Yeah, but that's my problem because I eat eggs. So I should be fully aware and comfortable with what I'm eating. You know, this is the thing with industrialized meat, our world right now, you know, we're so separate from our food.
It's true. And their food, even the people who, the animal people who produce our food, you know, mm-hmm. My family has beehives, so I can go see those bees whenever I want in the backyard. So I'm actually knowing the people who make my honey and to go over to
personally.
Yeah. Go over to Michael's.
Talk to your bees.
Yeah. Just as a side note back to honey, that is an old tradition from Druidism, and I think it's like a really old tradition of beekeeping, that it was called telling the bees, and beekeepers would go and tell their bees the news and tell them what's going on in their family. And the idea was to keep the bees happy, that the bees wanted. So it's this ancient with bees. It's a very ancient symbiotic and mutually beneficial relationship with a good beekeeper that goes way back and actually has a communication component to it.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Well, this is amazing. Okay. So talking about, you know, to people that are listening and really want us to get to their animals, like say their domesticated animals.
Yes.
So something that I've been shown is like, dogs and cats, but I'm just going to talk about dogs really quick, are like little white light angels to just come here to spread unconditional love and joy and kindness. And just like a dog, you know, greeting you at the door, loving you, just adoring you. Mm-hmm. It's like they're little angelic kind of spirits.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten a download like that?
There are dogs who have, past lives. And there are dogs who even have, you know, so they're not, I guess that they can be complex is how I can say this.
Can animals reincarnate as people, and do people reincarnate as animals?
Yes. Okay. People can reincarnate as animals. And I have had that experience in sessions. Past life stuff doesn't always come up. You know, and it's not something that I go looking for, but it does come up sometimes in a really strong way. The thing is, because it's so, I mean, I've had experiences where it was actually a past life and actually a couple layered past lives, which was really interesting. But then I also have had experiences where the animal was using that life as almost a metaphor to convey to the human client, like how they want to be perceived or how they are. Like I've had a trend of dog soldiers, speaking of dogs, where there'll be dogs who, you know, are showing themselves as, and you think about the loyalty and service and valor and all of the things that we equate with being soldiers, and having, you know, I've experienced several dogs that have had lives or either lives as soldiers or using, I am like a soldier, so that you will understand how I sense myself and what I need from you and how I want you to perceive me.
Wow. So why would someone reincarnate as a dog?
Well,
especially to a shitty family, you know what I mean? Or a shitty master. Okay. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation about, you know, the essence of suffering here on earth. But why? So why would someone come back as an animal? And what's interesting? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So to loop back to the angelic spirits, because this is what I understand about dogs. And I probably in 10 years, I'll understand even deeper about dogs. This is from where I sit now. Dogs are guardian spirits, and they are intrinsically involved with us. Like, they want to help us. Mm-hmm. And there's a few different dimensions of that, but one is that
they're teachers, kind of.
They're teachers, but the thing they're about teachers. Dogs is they kind of, as I don't know what to call them, a tribe or a race. Dogs, in a way, they're, because they love us so much, they get mixed in with our karma and our issues in ways. And this came through for me really strongly when it first started to glimmer in my mind, is that they love us so much that they let us do all kinds of outrageous things to them, to breed them to being like really small and jittery, to do things where they have physical issues, because they love us so much that they're willing to let us do that to them so that they can be close to us.
That's like that is that angelic spirit, that pure love. Like I think of angels as pure love and as like just rays of God's love in so many ways. And I feel that with dogs, it's just like, they're just, so I hear what you're saying. I think we're saying something very similar. It's like,
yeah, we are
that pure love. We may have different verbiage for it, but that pure loving energy, you know, I just adopted a dog. He's 9 months old.
Oh, he's a baby.
And he's a baby, but he literally came in. We adopted him. We rescued him from the SPCA. And he literally came to our house and he was like, all right, so this is where we're going to be. This is great. Awesome. Cool. So where do I go to the bathroom? Oh, out there. Okay, cool. And then where do you guys want me to sleep? Oh, there. Okay, great. Yeah. Where should I put my stuff? Like, he just moved in, was like, I'm not going to be any trouble to you guys. And I was like, do you bite? Do you nip? And he was like, oh my gosh, no, not at all. Never. And like all the neighbor kids come over, 12 kids will be like chasing him and going crazy. Not one nip, nothing. Sweetest dog. He just kind of rolled in like, I'm good. We're like, yeah. Did the house break you? He's like, no, not really. I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. He was just like, what's up? Here I am. So psyched to be with you guys. Like, he's just the funniest, sweetest guy ever. And just, you know, but that's what he said. He's like, all right, cool. Where should I put my stuff? What's this? What's this? What is that? I'm like, it's a leash. He's like, what do I do with that? I'm like, well, we're going to go cruise around the neighborhood. He was like, oh, great.
That's
great,
so sweet. Together? What's his name, Erica? Yeah.
His name is Teddy Bear Roosevelt Gabriel.
I love it.
You could tell my kids won, right? That battle. His name's Teddy Bear.
Teddy Bear from the original Teddy Bear.
Yeah, giver. we wanted to name him Indiana, and my kids burst into tears. They were like, what is an Indiana? That's the worst name we ever heard. He's a bear. He's a teddy bear. He does kind of look like a teddy bear. So his name is Teddy Bear. Teddy Roosevelt, you know, but Teddy Bear Roosevelt Gabriel. Yeah.
He might have had something to do with that, too. He might have not wanted to be Indiana either.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
really cool. But I do believe that. Like, he came in to bring us. Yeah. Really, he blessed our life.
Yeah, they come to be close to us, and it is mutually beneficial. Dogs exist because of humans. Mm-hmm. You know, they evolved alongside us, and that's going into science, but. You know, it is important to them. And of course, some of the curse, like what you would say is like the curses or issues of dogs are sort of the shadow side of that love, like separation anxiety, you know, somebody who loves you so deeply. And then there are dogs who, you know, it, just like a human who has abandonment issues or separation anxiety, that is like the flip side of their love.
I think, you know, when people ask in readings about their dog, they just feel so bad because at the end of the day, we have to put them down. So at the end of the day, we buy them or adopt them and bring them in, and then we have to say goodbye to them also. Yeah. So people just feel so guilty and just wonder so much if their dog knows that they loved them. And that's a huge question I get a lot. And I just would love to know what you thought on that.
The dogs know, and they know, again, like I was saying, they can hear us. We're not always coherent because we have a lot of conflicting thoughts and feelings in ourselves, but they know that we love them, and they know that we're trying to do right by them. And they would be that angelic presence that you're talking about. I think the thing that people, when they grieve or feel guilt about making a euthanasia decision, is guessing whether, you know, that second guessing themselves and hoping that they, you know, get it right, and that the dog has a good end to their life. But that the angelic presence of the dog that, you know, you're sensing, that is also somebody who's going to be incredibly forgiving of you for the same reason that they loved you in life. You know, it's all a continuum of that same love. And,
so sweet.
You know, I've had dogs, you know, I did a post about this a few days ago, but sometimes an animal, it's just that they want the end of their life to have meaning and to be meaningful and satisfying. So if you're trying to do your best by them, like really, the universe is so forgiving, and they, you know, I mean, if you're trying and everything you're doing is motivated out of love, they're not going to like any sort of dream haunting or, you know, like lashing yourself is coming from you. You know, that's not to say, oh, just be a casual euthanasia person and just snap it off.
No, but okay. I hear what you're saying. And that's such a beautiful thing to say. And I think that's going to give a lot of people listening a lot of peace, because it is so sad. And you know, and these dogs and cats just mean the world to us and mean so much to us. And I think to hear that, you know, the universe is forgiving and they love us and they do know and they do understand.
Oh, they totally know.
I had a mini Doberman Pinscher, and I had him for 19 years.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? They were like, he'll live till he's like 8 or 9 or whatever. I had him it was 19 years, because I got him, I mean, before I met my husband, I had him, before I had my kids, before everything, there was my little dog, Blue. He was just this great little dog. And when we finally put him down, I was holding him and I was talking to him and we were hanging, and I closed my eyes and I watched him get up out of his body, and it's almost like he took me to see what he was seeing. And I saw him running. And I looked out and it was this big field. Oh. It was like a green grass field. I saw him get up out of his little old beaten body, and I just saw him start to run. And I was like, oh, he's gone. And then the woman said, oh, you're right. He just passed now, you know. It was like this amazing moment. So, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like telling that story.
No, I'm glad you did. I could feel it. I was thinking of like that book title, At Play in the Fields of the Lord.
Oh,
just that beautiful, like in the fields of the Lord, in the fields of heaven.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think that animals and people go to the same spirit and same place?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same reason that, you know, you can reincarnate as each other, and animals can reincarnate again as other animals.
Yes. I've seen so many people cross over and are greeted by their dogs and greeted by their cats.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what this rainbow bridge is. People ask me, like, is it the rainbow bridge? I'm like, I don't know. That sounds great. If you see a rainbow bridge, I'm like, go with it, baby.
Have you read the poem awesome. Rainbow Bridge, Erica?
No, okay, no.
I feel
someone may have sent that to me at one point, but I don't resonate with it. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, you. Yeah.
I don't have consciousness around it, you know?
Okay. It's this beautiful poem that is a consolation for people who are grieving over a pet. And I don't even know. It's an anonymous poem about, you know, when you die, going at the rainbow bridge, your animals will greet you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, we've been talking about is like the peace that people need, because they, you know, their lives are so much shorter than our lives. They leave our lives.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Their life to them, you know, like, why wouldn't you incarnate as a dog? Because you're eternal. So it's like, I'll be a dog for 5 seconds.
Right, right, right. Yes. I'll take 30 seconds in dog land. Yeah.
And I'll get to enjoy all these smells and scents and odors and being lovey and goofy. And that's a pretty sweet.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I think, you know, I don't necessarily conceive of, you know, sort of a map of heaven with a bridge and that, but I think the reason that poem is so like powerful and perennial is because it does have something true in it that people are responding to in their heart that they know at some level is true.
I love that. Okay, so I have a few more questions before we wrap up. Number one, have you seen My Octopus Teacher?
I have not seen it yet.
I haven't either, but I think you would love that because it's all about this man and his relationship with an octopus. And I'll tell you, I feel like octopus are just so intelligent,
yeah,
just like dolphins. They're amazing.
Like spooky intelligent, you know, like
have
not
you communicated?
From here intelligent.
Yes. Have you communicated with an octopus before?
I have not yet, no.
Okay. Okay.
I would love to do that though. So I imagine it would be like a totally alien, quote unquote alien, but they're from here. You know,
right.
But literally extraterrestrial experience because they are extraterrestrial because they're in the ocean and they're not, you know, so they're not a terrestrial creature and everything about their evolution is totally different. Their perception.
Totally.
Everything.
Guys, it's a movie on Netflix called My Octopus Teacher. I haven't yet seen it, so I'm not endorsing it or anything, but it looks amazing. I just had to ask about that.
Yeah.
So before I ask you about your sessions and how people can get in touch with you and all that, one of my like main one my very first spirit guide that came through to me was my bear. I have a brown bear that's my number one spirit animal, and since then I have come to know six main spirit animals that I work with, but the bear remaining with me so far through my whole life. I don't know if he'll come in and out but he's been my main spirit animal. And I'm just wondering what your take on spirit animals are and how you connect with them.
I have had spirit animals who my sense of my experience with spirit animals is that they are my higher self or my soul team taking a particular form, and that it can phase out as I go through that phase of life.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think we do have like a main spirit animal, but yes, I've had different ones come in and recently I had an unbelievable dream with a fox and I had never had any connection to fox before. And that was the most recent animal I've had. I've had really wild experiences with animals, but I see what you're saying. They take on that persona to bring you their magic, their message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, as you go through life, if you have an experience with an animal, you know, for instance, at the rehab center, there was this baby bobcat who I would, you know, go in and feed on my volunteer shifts. And I grew to really love this bobcat, even though I was just with her for just a few minutes, you know, a couple, you know, once a week on my rounds. And something happened to her where she failure to thrive and she died mysteriously. And I was devastated. It was such a sad week. And that's the way rehab center is because it's this tide of life and death. But you know, I never would have thought, oh, I'm going to have Bobcat as my, you know, part of my team or animals. But because I had that relationship with her, now Bobcats are very special to me.
Wow.
And so when I have, you know, if there's an image of a Bobcat now, I pay more attention to than I did before. And that's because of that relationship. So that's something, it's also in the realm of spirit animal, but something slightly different from,
totally,
you know, your guide taking the form of an animal.
Right. You get drawn to them maybe in your life or mm-hmm. yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So this is so cool. So say someone wants to have a session with you they have a beautiful animal they love, maybe they can't figure them out or they're mm-hmm. worried about them or they're leaving them with a dog sitter, cat sitter, snake sitter, whatever kind of animal you have. Mm-hmm. And can you go in and talk to their animal and let them know what's going on?
Absolutely. I can do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And how should someone find you, work with
okay,
you?
Well,
book
I'm
a
on
session
Instagram.
With you.
I'm on Instagram as O Best Beloved AC. That's all one word. And my website is O Best Beloved. And again, that's the letter O, Best Beloved Animal Communication.com. And on my website, I have special offers that I have, you know, depending on, you know, like I have a post-pandemic separation anxiety kind of offer right now.
That makes sense. Cause that people are so used to being with their animals and now mm-hmm. they're going to go back to work or go on a trip. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But the perennial on the website, the perennials are always there. Like there's what I have, the triage package, which is like the very basic, it's a, you know, consultation with me, with a session and a report and going over the report. And there are always action steps for the person, the human person to take. And then I have another one is the longer fam animals, which is a month. And that one is actually coaching them. Like I was mentioning before, and anybody, the whole family can be in it. You know, I don't care how many people it is. It's just fam animals, you know, and the more people, the better, because everyone in a family has a different relationship with that animal. And the animal has a different relationship with each member of the family. And the more people in a family who can get in on something, the more likely it is that, you know, that problem is going to be solved.
Yeah.
Because everyone's believing together and everyone's acting together. So through the website and also through social media and, or just search me, Laura Marjorie Miller and, yeah, I'm happy to do it. And one reason I created Fam Animals is because, and eventually want to make a course, because I don't want people always to have to rely on a communicator as somebody's like special powers. Like I would be really happy if everybody did this.
Aww,
and that
yeah.
specialized communicators were kind of obsolete, because that would, I mean, if you imagine what a better world that would be for animals, if we were hearing them and making decisions based on what we were hearing from them, and how much just kinder it would be for them, more peaceful for us, because I believe that separation we feel from them is not good for us and that it's painful for us in some ways.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Totally. That's why I was asking you questions about zoos and veganism and all those things,
because
it is painful. I feel sad every day about animals, every single day. I mean,
every single day. I mean, that's something I say is, you know, back to zoos just briefly, captivity is intense. It's intense for animals, and it's also intense for people to be around, because you're picking up on it. Even someone who's not a professionally stamped animal communicator, you're picking up on the stuff that's going on around you when you're going through a zoo.
Totally. And the zoos that I've been to is like, some of them, it's like, oh my gosh, this animal was abandoned or this animal was troubled. I mean, they can do amazing things. And like, my kids have learned so much about animals through zoos and I'm not like, again, trying to demonize that, but we're talking about that vibration of the spirits that are in these animals, you know? Yes. I totally hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So quick question.
Yes.
Have you ever gone to an animal and the animal was like, lady, I'm not talking to you.
It would be just like somebody, again, that's why you ask permission.
Yeah, totally.
And again, it's like whether I'm leading with my ego or, you know, do I want this animal to validate me? And if you were,
yeah.
And of course they're going to be like, what, please, like, leave me alone. Just like if you just accosted somebody, you know, who was like having a picnic in the park and just walked up to them.
Okay.
And you were like, I want to talk to you, validate me. And, you know, so you ask permission, you go where you're invited. Mm. If they want to throw a softball into your brain, they certainly will do that.
Right.
Brain
what,
or whatever.
What is the wildest experience you ever had communicating with an animal? Like, because the animal was just so intense, or it just completely shifted something for them, or what was like, what's a wild experience you've had?
Okay. Well, I've had intense ones where the animal had a trauma.
Oh yeah. Wow.
You know, and like a real trauma, and that was like big guns. You know, and that's big because as you know, when you're connecting with somebody, you do all your protocols, you do everything, you know, to keep them safe, to keep you, you know, to enclose the communication and, to focus and channel it. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's hard if somebody has undergone a trauma to not take that on and to, because you're right there in the core with them.
What animal was this?
A retired lab chimp.
A retired lab chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was, I would
say. Were you able to help that chimpanzee?
Yes. Yeah. So, but it was something, you know, I didn't go in it with like, oh, this is going to be easy.
Right. No, of course. Right.
But it
yes.
was, you know, because, yeah. It was heavy, hardcore, heavy duty stuff. And that,
are chimpanzees as smart as we think they are?
They are. Yes. They're very smart.
Oh my gosh. And this poor guy was just like, oh my God, I've been tortured.
Well, yeah, it was if somebody's been in a lab, and again, we'll have to tick this up so we don't end on like a super heavy note, but that, you know, if you think about somebody being incarcerated for years and years, and the, you know, what's performed on them, it's hard. But like
note on that is that you were able to help the chimp, and were they in a better position now?
Yes, because they're, you know, their caretaker, it was a question of why is she making these choices instead of, you know, going outside? Like, why does she want to stay in her enclosure? And so they really were just, it was a pretty innocent question. And, you know, and that gave them, it's amazing. She's doing a lot better now, and she's adapted. But what it did was it gave the caretakers a whole new perspective on what she was perceiving and where she was coming from. And that's one reason this is so beneficial, because especially with an animal who has a past life history in this life where they've been somewhere else, they've had other things, you know, you can understand more of, okay, why are they interacting this way? Mm. You know, what's the story behind it? And then you can make decisions around that to make their life better and make, you know, to accommodate that and to see them, you know, to be seen, which is such an important thing for any being, like how we feel when somebody sees us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, and that is okay with what they see. And it just changes, it shifts the way the caretakers are being around her, because they have this extra information about her. Immediately that makes her life better.
This is amazing. I think you're doing incredible work. And I love that, you know, your message is not just come to me so I can communicate with your animals, but more, you know, let me spread this information so that you can communicate with your animals and we can have a more harmonious world, really.
Yeah.
And that's such a beautiful thing. I'm so glad that we found each other.
Oh my gosh, Erica, me too.
I'm so glad you came on the show. And to anyone listening, as you know, I hope you take this information to your heart, and you know, if something doesn't resonate with you, that's okay. Take what you will, take what you like, and leave the rest. I really hope ultimately, though, that you connect with Laura again. She is at Oh Best Beloved Animal AC. No, Oh Best Beloved AC.
Yes, that's my that's my Instagram and Twitter. It's
good.
Just AC for animal communication.
That's right. At O Best Beloved AC. So please follow her on Instagram and you can get her website there as well. And mm-hmm. you know, get a session with her and hopefully she can assist you in connecting with your own animals as well. I just loved talking to you. Thank you so much. And to everyone listening, you guys have been asking for the, you know, so many of these questions, so many of these things, working with animals and what it means. And does your animal know that you love them? And I hope that you got some peace and some answers. I know so many people are grieving for lost pets. They're so precious and special to us. So no matter what though, guys, and no matter what you take from, you know, this connection or this conversation or these ideas, just know and hold deep in your heart that whether it's your loved one you're missing or an animal you're missing, they are still with you, loving you, supporting you, seeing you around you. You are absolutely never, ever alone. I am so glad to be back with you all. Please remember to leave me a comment on Apple Podcasts, wherever you hear, you know, wherever you get your podcast, leave me a comment. You can always DM me at Spiritual Medium Erica on Instagram, and you can, you know, email info@ericagabriel.com if you have questions or want to connect with me. Thanks for listening and hanging out with us. Laura, thank you so much. God bless you guys, and take care.
Bless you, Erica.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.